Hope you are well. My name is Penny Moises and I'm founder of the Clean and Tidy Home Show. And on today's tea break, we're going to be joined by the lovely Kat Lord from More to Organising. So she's going to be joining us shortly. I've got my notepad ready and raring because whenever we have a chat to Kat, I've always got so many amazing takeaways when it comes to organising with children in mind. After a relatively challenging morning with mine, I'm really keen to get some advice. So please pop any questions, comments, down for us, and I'm just going to let Kat in. Hopefully Instagram is doing its thing. Kat should be with us any moment. Hello, there she is. How are you doing, Kat?
Good, thank you. You?
How are you? For anybody who hasn't had the pleasure of meeting you, Kat, do you want to do a quick introduction before we get going?
Yeah, absolutely. So I am the award-winning author of More to Books, More to Organising and More to Mealtimes, which is my newest book. I bring learning to life through books, organising and food.
I love it. Always, always good to chat to you. I don't know if you heard me just say in the intro there, I was like, I've got my notepad at the ready because there's always so many good takeaways. And certainly the challenges that I've found with, running a life and a home with children can be very challenging. And our theme at the moment has been very much about asking for help. So we'd love today to find out a little bit more about how you can help parents, children, and what led you to do what you do, really. So, let's kick off with around the theme for asking for help and essentially the help that you can provide within your businesses and what you do.
Yeah, so I organise rooms and routines with children in mind because it's actually the routines that are the things that hold family life together. So like the school run or the bath time or bedtime and all of those. So I physically do help with school runs. I take children to and from school. I've got a few clients. I have 9 children every week. But I also organise their lives for them. So that means I will go in and organise your rooms for you. So I help declutter. I help create systems that work for your family. And I also help with researching storage items that are really good for your children and will help when their children grow, but also are useful for your children so then that they can be empowered and independent while they're learning and playing and living.
That's what I love so much about what you do, Kat, because it's not just about giving people an easy life and getting through those routines, but actually really considering the educational impact that you can have along the way, which I just think is brilliant.
Thank you.
So in terms of you writing your books, which are incredible, I've read all of them and would strongly recommend them and really open my eyes, as I say, as I've got 2 young boys, for anybody who doesn't know, so they're 3 and 4, and there are so many amazing takeaways in them and really made me think about how we work as an entire family, especially in terms of getting out the door and things like that. You mentioned school run. We're going to have to dive into that a bit deeper in a moment. But what inspired you to write those books, Kat? Talk me through that.
Yeah, so I was a teacher and then I became a nanny. And on the playground, parents and other nannies would say, what books do I use and what activities do I do? So that's how my first book was born, which was More to Books. And then I was a nanny, so I was organising people's playrooms, I was organising bedrooms, I was organising their routines. And it was actually during lockdown, I had divorced parents who I was nannying for. So before lockdown, I was still taking the children from house to house and making sure their lives were running smoothly. But in lockdown, that was a whole other kettle of fish. So I had to get super organised. But I saw how the children thrived when the house was working for them. The children started thriving in their education, in their lives, in their happiness, which was what was most important to me. I wanted to make sure that their well-being was most important first. But then the parents' lives got easier as well on the weekends when I wasn't there. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to open a business. So I actually took pictures of all the things that I'd organised and I sent them to my boss at the time. And at the bottom I wrote, I'm going to give up nannying and become a professional organiser. And a year later I opened my business and I wrote the second book.
It's amazing. And through your books and all the content and different things that you do, you must be able to reach so many more people. And I think that's one thing that we're really trying to promote at the moment. There's kind of layers of help. So, if somebody can't perhaps afford or isn't able to benefit from your services, actually to read your book and be able to get some of those takeaways is amazing.
And I think what's most important that some people don't necessarily realize when I'm a nanny, I'm thinking about the child as a human being and thinking about their life as an adult. So I want to create a space where they can learn the routines and the habits that are going to be positive for them and their lives. And that's like, instead of wrapping our children in cotton wool and doing everything for them, it's actually creating, it's called enabling environments. It's an actual theorist, it's a thing from theorists like Froebel and Macmillan and Montessori that everyone will know. But if you apply those to your home, then your children can thrive and your family can work easier.
Do you want to just give us a little bit of context around that? Because you mentioned Montessori, and I certainly know about Montessori. I've got a good friend of mine that actually moved hundreds of miles away to go to a Montessori school because totally believes in the concept. But actually, some friends that I've spoken to aren't really familiar with what the model is. Do you want us just to give us a bit around enabling environments, the types of things that you might do?
So the idea, especially Montessori, but as I mentioned, the other people as well, Froebel and Macmillan, they talk about tasks that are household tasks, that things that the children will have to do. And especially Macmillan encourages you to let the children use things like hammers. And like so the children are using the implements that will help them in their day-to-day lives rather than toys. The only thing that I don't agree with Montessori is she doesn't like to talk about animals that can talk, or you know, like fairy tales or fairies. So I pick and choose the bits from all the theorists that I want to apply and want the children to take forward in their lives.
I love that. And I think that's a really good point, that there can be all of this advice out there and theory behind different things, but ultimately it's your choice as to what you want to adopt in your home and within your own family, because some things that you will like, other things you might not like, or you might try it and it might not necessarily work for you. I think that's a really good point, Kat.
Absolutely. And I was talking to someone, I think it was Gina Ford, and you know, she had a very prescriptive ways of how to do routines. And this lady I was speaking to, she said, I had to only take half of the advice because it just didn't work for my family. And I think when we're talking about asking for help, that's the point, is some things aren't going to work for your family and that's okay. And to not feel like, oh gosh, everyone is doing that prescriptive like routine and I should be doing that too. And that's not how it works. And actually you have never had your children at the age you've had before. And even if you've got a 4-year-old and then you've got a 3-year-old who's going to be 4, you've never had 2 children who are 4 and 3 ever before. So it's okay not to know, and it's okay to find out and figure out what's best for your family.
I love that. And you mentioned Gina Ford. I remember reading that book, and there were some things I was like, right, I'm going to sort out sleep routines and I'm going to do this, that and the other. And not only did I have the guilt and frustration that it wasn't working initially, then I had the guilt and frustration that I couldn't then put this really systematic thing into place. But actually some of the things and takeaways really did help, but I just couldn't follow it letter by letter. And yeah, it's really interesting you've picked up on that, because that was one of the, you know, the roller coasters of early parenthood. That was certainly one of one thing that I did read.
So the idea that your child should only sleep in a room at a certain time doesn't fit in with life, because if you've got several children, you've got one that's going to a music class and you've got one that's being picked up from school, and then suddenly the sleep that's supposed to be from 1 till 3 can't happen because you have to get them up to get take. So I think you've got to think about your family foremost before you think about all the advice that's given to you, and pick and choose the bits that work.
I love that. So in terms of some of the clients that you've worked with, do you find that some are better than others at asking or accepting help, perhaps even briefing you or even accepting the advice that you might give as part of your role? How do you find that dynamic?
Yeah. So by the time someone's hiring me, they have already decided. They're usually in massive overwhelm. It's usually because they've got their third child coming or already here and they've got so much stuff. Or it's that their child has special needs, and that's usually, I've had a lot of families with special needs, and because I've got an education background, that I can really support them with that. So sometimes they're already knowing that they need help and they just say, please just do whatever you can that will help us. There's some clients that come to me and are not sure that they want to get rid of some things. and in a non-judgmental way, the way you help with that is to ask about that you've really got to get to know your client and find out what makes them tick, what is really not working for them in their home, and then like hint that it might be helpful if they could get like release themselves from something that's not working out for them.
That's really interesting. So Kat, Do you ask for help, and who perhaps helps you?
I absolutely do. And before I was a professional organiser, I had Suzanne Roynan, who is the interiors therapist. She came to three of my houses, and I do credit to her to my part of my success, absolutely. And actually, she wrote a book after meeting me, because I'd written a book, so we kind of help each other out. Since then, I find body doubling, I don't know whether you know that term, so having a friend over, or having, because obviously I know a lot of professional organisers now, getting someone else in just so then we can have a glass of wine and go through. So I do have doom piles, I've got bags. So I think I might be ADHD, but I put things in bags and then put them in a cupboard and then I don't want to touch them again. So when I get someone to come in, and then I can pull them out and go through them, because obviously I've got a bit of anxiety about those. So that really helps. But having accountability, even just as I've moved in with my boyfriend 6 weeks ago, and having him here has made me a lot more thoughtful about the spaces that we both, like obviously we're all in it all, but I've got my own bathroom. So that's my place that I'm allowed to just be myself.
It's really interesting though, isn't it? But and I know that we've spoken about this before, that you know, you not having children yourself, and in terms of being a childhood expert, and how you can be experts in things even if it's something that you actually struggle with or haven't had personal experience in. And I think that's a really interesting thing, that you know, actually sometimes we're better at helping people if we have the same struggles or not. And I think that's a really interesting thing.
Before Suzanne Roy, and she can attest to this, the first day that she did an organise for me, I think we had 15 bin bags that we took to the charity. Wow. And I was living in just one room at the time in a flat with like four other people, and luckily I managed to be moving into a one bed flat myself. So I just wanted to get really organised and not take all the stuff that was holding me back. And I had things like, you know, reports that weren't very nice, or letters from illness, or things that you don't think about have negative energy around you, and you don't need to take them because they're all online, or they're all on the internet. If you need to find them, you can still find them. But it just releasing things that I was just holding on to for no reason. I had files and files from university that I never looked at ever again. And I didn't think that, well, they were holding me back physically, because obviously I had a tiny room and it was just chaos.
Yeah, and we've got a comment here. Sometimes being outside is easier because you can see through the trees. Totally makes sense. Sometimes you're too close to it yourself, aren't you? And so to have somebody who can come in and be non-judgmental, but a bit more objective, and just guide you in that way, I think, yeah, is really important.
A good anecdote for that, actually, my current nanny family, which I've been with for 3 years, so I do their school run in the afternoons, they, in their house, they had their kettle at one side of the room and then their cups and their teapots at the other side of the room. So every time you brewed a cup of tea, you had to walk to the other side of the kitchen. And I said, why don't we just switch that up? And they were like, well, we hadn't thought about it. And it saved them so much time. I mean, for at least a week, we accidentally kept going to the wrong cupboard. But after that, it was fine.
It's so funny. And then that comes on to, I'm fascinated by habits and, you know, how we can build or break them. But I also think, yeah, sometimes we think things might be obvious to one person, but some people might have heard me use this example before. I was on a podcast a while ago and was talking to this personal trainer, and he was saying about how he had a client who would always be 5 minutes late, and he would say, you know, should we shift the time? Oh, no, it's okay. It's just, it's taking me a long time to go back home to get my kit before I come here after work. And then he said, well, why don't you put the bag in your car when you go to work in the morning? It's a really great idea, you know. And sometimes just whether it's overwhelm or simply just because you haven't considered it for whatever reason, and it can just be that little barrier or simple change that can save you so much time or worry, which I think is really, really interesting to have that, as I say, outsider's perspective.
Absolutely. And common sense isn't actually common. And I don't mean this in a negative way. I've been in so many families where they do everything so differently, and I'm coming in and obviously I try and work the same way as they do as a nanny, because that's why I'm there. But there's a really funny anecdote. There was a grandma and a mum and a daughter, and the daughter just got a new house, and they, I think it might have been Easter Sunday, they were putting a beef joint in the oven, and they cut the ends off, And they were like, why are you doing that? And it turned out that the grandma had a slim oven, so it was smaller, so you had to cut the ends of the meat joints off to fit it in the oven. And because that the grandma taught the mum to do that, the mum taught the child to do that, and then as she grew up she just carried on doing it. So, and there's probably reasons why you've got habits that you do in your life, and it'll be something to do with some family member that's taught you.
That's absolutely fascinating. That really is. So, in terms of kind of tips or anything you can give around asking for help, is there anything that you would suggest people should do, whether it's with children or mind or you having, accepting help within your home? Is there anything you would suggest either in terms of structuring how you ask or how to be better at it? Anything you want to leave us with today?
On how to ask, I think, especially so, one of the things that I can say about my clients is sometimes I do before and after photos and they don't want that. And absolutely, I would never do it if they didn't want it to. But I think it's because they feel embarrassed or they feel shame. And if someone like myself or yourself, we're in this space because we love to help, and that's why we're here. And we're not judgmental at all. We're here, and it's actually exciting for us to be able to sort it. So I would say try and take that feeling. I know it's difficult, but the people that are here to help are not thinking that way at all.
I love that. I love that. Oh, well, thank you so much for joining us today, Kat. You've obviously got lots of tips in your books and certainly on your socials as well.
Yeah.
So if anybody's not following Kat already, then head to More to Organising. We can share some links and stories as well to where you can access the books. But Kat's going to be involved in the Clean Tidy Home Show again in October, so there'll be lots of opportunity to chat to Kat then, if not before.
And I'm going to be at the Ideal Home Show on Saturday all day. I'm actually speaking three times about enabling environments for child development. So I'd love to see you there.
Amazing, amazing. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Kat. Thank you for everybody who's checked in. I'm always watching this back and look forward to seeing you all again soon. Take care. Bye.